Ivan, social media versus reality.
Hi, I'm Ivan.
I'm Nick.
This is DIY Detail. We're going to delve into social media reality and real life because detailing is sometimes misrepresented on social media to get more views.
Yeah, and if you're just getting into detailing or if you've been in it for a while, it can get a little dizzying, a little intoxicating, seeing all these detailers, these influencers online and what they're doing, and you're like, I'm supposed to deliver that or I'm supposed to do that. And I have a few ideas in my head, Ivan, but I know you've got your pet peeves. So we want to try to give you a sense of what to actually deliver versus what's happening online.
Yeah.
Because that's not real.
And there's some stuff online that's real, but it's perceived as fake. And one of them is, you guys always wash clean cars. You can't say this is clean.
But it ain't clean.
No, it's not clean. But even the cars that look clean on camera are not clean. It's just the camera makes things look better. Now, it makes us look a little fatter, but yeah, it adds 10 pounds to us, but it takes 10 pounds of dirt off the car. And seriously, not just our channel, but many, many channels, you see the comment, oh, you guys only clean cars. Well, it's hard to show dirt on camera. It's a really weird thing. So, social media versus reality. In social media, they look cleaner than they are.
They're dirty, folks, and you know what it is. And if it's not that dirty, then do a rinse and wash on it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, things are always gonna be dirty. Depending on the paint color, you'll see it more. Trust us, we're trying to give you tips to use the real world, not something that you just buy a product once and you're like, oh, they showed it in a video, it was a scam, I'll never buy from them again.
Right.
Like, we're here for the long haul.
Yeah.
We're trying to build trust with you, and this conversation back and forth is an important one.
Exactly.
Ivan had some pet peeves. And trust us, a lot of these cars are dirty.
Yeah, definitely.
And we tell you when they're not dirty, and then we do a waterless wash on them, because that's when to use waterless wash, on a barely dirty car.
Right, and there are some people that represent waterless wash as being able to wash this. No, waterless wash is meant as a touch-up, as cleaning a clean car.
That's it's fake. When they tell you you can do waterless wash, no hose, nasty car, get out of here.
Yeah, no. So that is something, you know, that's a big pet peeve.
And that's something where you're not gonna see the scratches they inflict. It's gonna look really clean on Instagram.
Oh, definitely. Right? Yeah, it's gonna look spectacular.
They inflicted a lot of scratches. Yeah. We are the first to tell you, waterless wash, our waterless wash, we have one, has a narrow lane. It works great in that narrow lane. Door jams,
drying
just washed the car, and then you drove to the car show and it's a little dusty.
Yeah.
Use the waterless wash there.
Bird dropping, things like that. But waterless wash is not for cleaning something like this. Now, sometimes you'll see a car like this, and the first thing they do is they get out the foam cannon, which is good. That is good practice for us as well. Get out the foam cannon. But sometimes, let's just say they doctor the foam a little bit.
What does that mean?
It looks like they're putting on an inch thick of shaving cream. Well, it looks fun, but we recommend 1 ounce in the foam cannon. And 1 ounce in the foam cannon gets us respectable foam. It doesn't get us this clingy, looks like you sprayed styrofoam on the car, which is fun. It looks great. And, one channel that I watch, and I know you watch, Rick from Rag Garage, if you like a cinematographic approach to detailing, his channel is spectacular. The man is an artist. But he always does the very thick foam, and he doesn't fake it. That's the way he does it. He mixes it up, and he tells people he purposely mixes it up thicker. But he puts this foam on, and then you get great shots of the foam just dripping down, and sometimes it's dripping up because he does artsy things, and it's a lot of fun. But in reality, that isn't necessarily the best way. Sometimes you actually want a runny foam.
Makes me want to actually over-dilute or under-dilute our product and do the same thing.
Right.
It's fun. Fun is good.
Yeah.
We use more if you want. You can add 2 ounces of incredible size of your foam cannon.
If you want to,
you just don't need to, right?
But nonetheless, they foamed it on.
Yeah, they foamed it on.
They haven't rinsed it, and then they get out this, the small little brush.
You love it. On a Ferrari, or no, an Italian. What is your favorite? I've heard you say it before.
Yeah.
You get the brush out.
And we had a Ferrari here the other day. I should have done the video just for fun. But nonetheless, when detailers make a video and it's an exotic car or an expensive car, what they want to do is get that foam on there, the big, thick, luxurious foam. And then they take this brush and they go around the emblem. so you can see the emblem and the brushes going around there. They haven't rinsed the car off. So the dirt that's there, they're just grinding it into the paint and into the emblem. You need to rinse off first. So seeing someone just foam the car and then all of a sudden doing this, that is not best practice.
You want to foam first, then use a pressure washer, then foam again. You've got the initial grit off the paint, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got that bed of lubrication, that incredible suds, that foam. Then you can use wash media. Then you can use that little brush on the emblems.
The same people that use the little brush on the emblem without rinsing the car first will also tell you not to use a flag tip nylon brush because it's going to scratch the paint.
We love the green flag tip nylon brush. The wheel and body brush available on our website. If you're curious, hey, where do I find that brush?
Yeah.
It's right here in the corner. There's a little product section. I just like to let them know if they're curious.
And this is a flag tip nylon brush. So they're using this, but they won't use a larger one. It doesn't make sense. The other area that this is overused is on interiors. And for me, cleaning an interior, take a rinse a stamp and towel or our interior clean and protect, wipe the panel, wipe it with a dry towel, and you're done. That is great. It works, it's efficient, it's fast, and you get great results. But again, to get views on Instagram, because it's fun, especially Instagram and TikTok, this is a big tool on Instagram and TikTok to get more views, it's fun.
Use what you have to use to get the views out there, folks. We're not saying like it's not the most efficient way to clean your car.
Right.
But foam is fun.
Yeah.
People like foam, Ivan.
Oh, I know.
Good detailers love foam. The enthusiast loves foam, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Foam something up with a brush and it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, it's true.
Very true. But what you see them doing with this is they put a bit of product on it or they spray product on the panel, which again, no. But anyways, they spray product on the panel, then they sit there making little circles with this brush, getting it to foam up. That takes a lot of time and a lot of effort for not a better clean.
I mean, if you have compressed air, it's a wonderful tool. A rinseless wash, damp, and towel is amazing, right?
Yeah.
Just a rinseless wash in a bucket, you know, 4 milliliters to a liter, 1 ounce of product to 2 gallons of water. Like, the dilution ratio is insane. You can do so much with a rinseless wash. And you just wring out a short nap towel in that bucket.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, not even dripping, right? It's just kind of damp.
Yeah.
And just, it'll clean so well. And if you have an air compressor, which you may or may not, that's an amazing tool to get in all the nooks and crannies as well. This brush is fine. It can be part of that sort of like arsenal of yours.
Right.
But if you have compressed air and have a little gun and you have rinseless wash on a dampened towel, that's like all you need really.
Right. Now, another thing, speaking of interiors, that we see a lot, and that is taking the seats out.
Oh my gosh.
And I've heard people say, if you're not taking the seats out, you're not detailing properly. Well, if you're taking the seats out, you're running a big risk. You know, 20 years ago, it wasn't a big deal taking seats out.
Really?
We had 4 bolts. We had a seat belt maybe, but most of the times it wasn't attached to the seat. And that was it. Now we have occupancy sensors. We have airbags. We have seat heaters. We have seat coolers. We have all these things built into the seat. And a lot of companies are using torque to yield bolts, which means once you take those seat bolts out, they're technically garbage. And you need to buy new bolts to put that seat in.
Do you think the detailers who are taking seats out even know that?
They may or may not.
Yeah, not to say anything disrespectful if you're a detailer listening out there who's done this. I just didn't know that those kind of bolts existed on these seats. And I never took these seats out. I also never did engine bay details. Certain things to me just felt risk reward. I don't know a lot about engines. I'm not going to put a pressure washer in there or a hose. I want to stay away from engine bays, and I never took seats out for this reason. But you see a lot of YouTubers doing these disaster details, yanking the seats out for really visual transformations.
Right, and it is a great visual transformation, and those disaster details are very entertaining to watch, but they're not necessarily real life. So the seat, you never really need to take it out unless it's some dire emergency, but normally the seat has enough travel that if you put it all the way forward and all the way back, you can get it all the carpet underneath the seat.
And if you're having an issue getting under there, that's where an air compressor, right? A leaf blower, something that will shoot air into places you may not be able to reach to and blow the stuff in another direction.
Right.
So then you can put the seat back and then go into that front seat again if you blew from, you know, the back and then vacuum all that stuff away. So like there's ways to do it without taking the seats out.
Right.
And I see a lot of people, you know, extracting cloth and seats, and they make it look really good on this transformation. But as a hardcore detailer myself, you know, a carpet and upholstery guy, They're leaving it wet so it looks good on camera.
Yeah.
In real life, when it dries, it may not look good. It may have really severe wicking or browning.
Yeah.
So all they really do is extract it. It's nasty.
Yeah.
They spray something on there. They use a drill brush. And then they extract it out and they show it to you wet.
Right.
And it hasn't given you the final results yet. So that's another thing with like real life versus, you know, internet detailing, just so you know.
And they show the mud inside the extractor, you know, look at all, what we got out of the carpets and
seats. That's real.
Oh, that's real. But that isn't necessarily representative of real life. And another thing with carpets. So carpets rarely get stained. They get dirt. And that dirt, if you leave it dry, it vacuums out really easily. So if you agitate with a brush and vacuum, you get almost as much, if not more, than extraction sometimes. Because as soon as you introduce water, that dirt is now mud.
Absolutely. So get it out dry first. As much as you can, vacuum out. Use a brush to agitate and vacuum at the same time.
Right.
Or a compressor, you know, it really helps.
Yeah.
Maybe one of those, what are they? I don't want to name a name brand, but...
Well, the drill brush.
Or a
Tornador, yeah.
A Tornador, a Vortex, there's all different. I just didn't want to... Yeah, you know, there's different brands out there. We don't need to endorse anybody.
Yeah, exactly. So they all work.
They all work.
So they make a weird noise and they use air.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so there's a lot of things that you need to be careful of. And when you're watching it, you can think, well, think critically. Are they doing this for views? Is it fun to watch? Yes, it's fun to watch. But is it really necessary to do that? And another thing is, you know, iron remover. Every time they clean wheels, they're putting iron remover on it. Yes, you have brake dust on there and it's going to show purple. And sometimes that brake dust is really, the wheel instead of silver has sort of a goldish tinge to it, then you're going to need iron remover. But if you're cleaning your wheels on a regular basis, you don't really need any more than soap or rinseless wash.
A couple of things I've seen as well is, you know, overusing product.
Yeah.
To produce a visual result.
Right.
Right? So that it looks cool online and you think you need that much product.
Yeah.
Which you really don't.
No.
Another thing I see people do, and I'm not gonna name any names, but they'll slap a product under the hood, like a wash mitt or a clay towel, or I feel like it's a little aggressive.
Yeah.
Because it's like a quick natural sound hit, boom, boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like be nice to that paint. You know?
Exactly.
And when you're doing the drying towel, like we have the drying blanket, you can lightly toss it on there, but don't slam it on the paint.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, your paint's sensitive.
You're not doing the whipping of the towel.
Yeah.
And speaking of paint correction. Now, paint correction, we prone paint enhancement instead of paint correction. Because the more you polish paint, the more paint or clear coat you're removing, the more you're damaging the car, actually.
Yes.
So those that are going after paint perfection and they show you images and stuff, we try to capture scratches on film and we can't do it. There are some days when the lighting isn't cooperating, the camera isn't focusing, the paint to us in our eyes looks like trash. We look at it through the camera and it's like, darn, that's beautiful. So that is one of the things that they're saying that they're correcting paint to 100% and it's perfect. Well, it may not be. You know, the camera, like it doesn't show dirt, also doesn't show scratches.
Look, the insane transformation, I've been guilty of it too.
Yeah.
At the expense of the clear coat, which is not responsible as a detailer, you know, for the lifestyle, for the lifetime of the paint,
or
the owner of the vehicle, really, because when you remove all that clear coat, it's gone forever.
Right.
But it sure looked good on camera. So I've done that before.
Yeah.
But the message that sends the detailers is they need to do that too.
Yeah, and you don't need to get paint perfect every time you polish it. Most people, and this is a trick for detailers in your marketing. When your customer says, I want my paint to be perfect, ask them, good, just like the day you bought it at the dealership? And most people will say, yeah, like the day I bought it at the dealership. As a professional detailer of 40 years, I can tell you that I can take a new car on the lot in the showroom or just delivered and point out defects till the cows come home. There's full of defects in a new car, but to 99% of the people in this world, that's as perfect as paint will ever be.
Yeah, and so that's another thing is like, know what is going to impress your customer, and it's not perfect paint.
No.
And I had to work with you over dozens of cars to finally understand, this is sendable. This paint with these shiny panels and actually quite a few scratches left is perfectly good enough
right.
for 99% of people. And of course you want to communicate with your customers, right? But you can lose a lot of sleep. You can lose out on family time. You can have a lot of things suffer when you chase perfect paint because you see it online. You've never gone to another training. You're just you against you thinking right. that it has to be perfect. You're trying to solve all of this chaos in the world, bring order to it on this panel. Like, you got so many things in your head that you're trying to solve by exactly. making this thing perfect. Do I sound like I'm speaking from experience?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
It's not worth it, is what I'm saying.
No, definitely. It's not worth it. And it's not realistic. Because your customer, even if you manage to get that close to perfect paint, they're going to drive it away. And they're going to wash it just like they washed it the week before.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, you polished it. Or they're going to take it through the car wash just like they did the week before you polished it and just bring it right back to the way it was. So that is something that you don't overdo it. Polishing paint is great. Do it the least amount possible. And you want to do a paint enhancement, not a paint correction. Now, I go on Facebook a lot, and I see some advertisements coming through because I'm in the detailing world. So guess what? They, you know, throw detailing products at me. The thing that I see is these really too good to be true products. And I'm not saying, we're not naming anyone, but it's somewhere between E10 and G12.
I've been, we are a brand, you know, right. we advertise.
Yeah.
Like if someone has a really good video that's getting a lot of eyeballs and it's garnering them a lot of sales,
excellent.
More power to them. But if you feel like it's too good to be true, if it's a little slimy, if it's a little salesy, if it's that beautiful 50-50 where something's happening on one side and the other side's not coated and everything, it may be a really good brand. But just trust your gut on this.
Yeah. So something that is in a bottle like Quick Beads or ceramic gloss, yes, it's going to give you months of protection. It's going to do a good job. It doesn't replace a ceramic coating. And anything that is spray and wipe like that, yes, it can give you a certain amount of protection. But a true small bottle ceramic coating, if I can put it that way, is a very different thing. And they're trying to sell you this bottle for... Usually online, you see it at $39 or $59. What do we sell ceramic gloss for? About $19?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to do the same thing, people. And ours is probably going to do a slightly better job. So those companies, that's all they sell, and they invent words. So they invent some miracle ingredient that's in it. And if you Google that miracle ingredient, it just brings you to their website, and it doesn't bring you to Wikipedia, or it doesn't give you a CAS number. Yeah, it's probably just marketing.
Look, a smooth video and a very well laid out website, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But you may just be like, wow, this looks so good. I'm going to try this on my paint.
Yeah.
And we hope eventually you find us because we're going to tell it to you like it is.
Yeah.
And if it's not our products,
no.
Just do your research.
Yeah.
Just
and there's a lot.
Look for other people saying things about that. If no one else on YouTube has reviewed it, but they have a really good marketing funnel on Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah.
That's probably a good way. I would probably go to YouTube and look for reviews of this product.
Definitely.
And see if it stands up to the torture test for
right.
real detailers. That's probably what I would do.
Yeah, but key phrases. Never wash your car again. Anti-scratch, like we mentioned before. Those are things that, no, that doesn't exist. Now, spray coatings. That is something that I take to heart a lot. And you see detailers online that they are spraying a real ceramic coating. So not one of these spray sealants, but a real ceramic coating. They're using an airbrush normally, and they're spraying it on the car. Well,
or the wheels.
Or the wheels or the grill. That's great. If you are doing that, do not follow their lead. First of all, coatings are not meant to be sprayed. And there are some companies coming out with a sprayable coating, but they don't take the dangers seriously. Most coatings are fluorinated. And fluorination, if you look it up, is very nasty when absorbed through the skin. And you see these people online that, yes, they have gloves on and they have a little respirator. They have their sleeves rolled up. Their whole face is exposed, or if you're like me, the whole head is exposed. The more skin contact that overspray gets onto, the harder it is on your liver. So fluorination is very, very hard on your liver, and doing something like that, spraying a coating, oh, I just do it once a week. No, ever. Don't. Unless you're wearing the full-on bunny suit, you're going after a nuclear event, That's how you should be dressed for spraying a coating.
If you're getting paid properly to lay down a proper ceramic coating,
you can
on
afford,
wheels,
yeah.
Then apply it by hand.
Yeah.
And then if you're just wanting to protect your own wheels, just use quick beads after every wash.
Yeah.
You know, that'll keep them really clean. The water will bead. I mean, do whatever you want, but just do it properly. Don't risk the safety stuff.
No. Another thing I see a lot that irks me is wheels off detailing. Now,
That's a big thing online.
Again, the person drove to your shop, you're doing that wheels off detail, they can go right back out on the road. So that suspension you cleaned is going to be dirty in, a couple miles. Those wheels that you meticulously clean the backside of the spokes, they're going to get as dirty as they were before you came in. And there are risks, and a lot of detailers don't realize the risks. First of all, lifting a car up, there's risk there. Did you put the jack in exactly the right place? Did you put the jack stand in the right place because you're removing the wheel? Or did you just support it on the jack and then all of a sudden the jack goes down by accident? Those things actually happen. The other part of a wheels off detail is torquing the lug nuts. Now, most responsible detailers, they put the wheel on and they use a torque wrench, better than most tire shops, to torque that wheel back on. But did you know that 100 miles later you have to check the torque?
No, I didn't. And you told me this today and I was like, I'm never doing a wheels off detail again.
Yeah.
Not that I have a shop anymore. I did it two or three times. I had a shop partner at the time and he knew more than I did, but I guarantee you there was no torquing of the lug nuts after 100 miles.
So in some jurisdictions, a tire shop is obligated to retorque your wheels for no charge. In Quebec, that's the way it is. So if you had your wheels changed at one store, but you drove 100 miles, you're not going to drive back to that store, you can stop at any tire shop and they will retorque your wheels. So if you had a detailer take your wheels off, or if you took your own wheels off, after 100 miles or so, let the wheels cool down, retorque the wheels.
So you think the wheels off detailing is just overrated?
Yeah, definitely it's overrated. Unless it's a show car. It's like wet sanding to remove orange peel. That's another one. Orange peel is beneficial. It doesn't look great, but it's beneficial. If you have no orange peel on your car, you are going to see every speck of dirt, dust, every little scratch, every little marring is just going to be magnified. And in my shop, when someone would say, I want you to remove the orange peel, my first question to them is, what kind of trailer are you picking the car up in? Because you're never going to want to drive it on the street again. And we did some orange peel removal jobs because they were legitimate show cars. And that's fine. But if you're driving your car on the street, the factory, they're not stupid. They can paint the car pretty much without orange peel if they want to. But that orange peel is built into the paint system because they know they have a certain amount of defects and flaws and waves in the panel. You remove that orange peel, you're going to see every little wave in that panel. Now, best example, I happen to drive one. Look at a Jeep Wrangler. Those doors are not flat. They're far from flat. We bought a Jeep Wrangler when the JL series when they first came out in 2018. And we were going to return it until we looked at every other Jeep on the road and we'd never seen panels that wavy. But it's a Jeep thing obviously, or apparently.
You love to hate Jeeps. Or you hate to love them. Either way, it's a love thing.
Yeah.
Also a hate.
No, but anyways, if they didn't have the orange peel that they have on it, it would be even worse. It would show up dramatically more. So you have to be careful if you're thinking that every car needs to be wet sanded and orange peel removed. No. Unless it's a show car, you're not removing orange peel.
That's good advice. I think we should stop there. I think that if you have more questions, we want to hear them from you.
Exactly.
We answer them. We love the conversation. Find us in the DIY Detail Facebook group. We're 50,000 members strong as of the recording of this video.
Yeah.
There's no bad questions in that group, Ivan.
No, there's no stupid questions. There's no bad questions. And if there are stupid answers and bad answers, those people disappear.
Look, I think this is a video about polishing paint as well as many other things. But you mentioned wet sanding to get rid of orange peel. And I'm like, man, that sounds like a mistake. There's another video that's done very well. It's our top 10 polishing mistakes.
Yeah.
So if you want to know more about what not to do, this is the video for you.